Bear with me this morning. I think I'm coming down with something, so I may talk a little funny. What I want to talk about today is the Bible. And I thought it would be a good idea to start this out with a little Bible pop quiz. Now, it's going to be the honor system. You grade yourselves. We're going to have a five-question quiz. All right, you ready? First question, and we're going to start with an easy one from the Old Testament. Where is the first tennis match mentioned in the Bible? Okay. Everybody got their answers? That would be when Joseph served in Pharaoh's court. Aw. That's a good question. All right, question two. Which Bible character had no parents? I see you turn it over in your minds. The answer would be Joshua, son of Nun. Yeah, really? All right, number three. What kind of a man was Boaz before he got married? Preston, you get a half a point for a good answer. He was single, that's right. But the real answer is he was ruthless. Hey, they get worse. Number four. What was one of the first things that Adam and Eve did after getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden? They raised Cain. All right, last one. What excuse did Adam give to his children as to why they no longer lived in Eden? He said, "Your mother ate us out of house and home." All right. Well, some of us do better on Bible quizzes than others, and I see a lot of blank faces out there, so I don't guess. Anybody get them all right? No? Okay. Me? I had the answers. I got them all right. Preston? No? No. I think I was pushing my luck with five questions. But anyway, I want to talk about the Bible and what the Bible really means. We're going to start out with Acts 2:42. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The first Christ followers were 100% devoted to Christ and to his cause. They were sold out for Christ, completely committed and ready to make an impact. And you know, that's the way we should be today. We should be exactly like them. But the most important commitment they made was to Christ and devoted to his instruction. And the basic, most basic element for every healthy, successful church is a commitment to hearing and learning and applying God's Word. And the Bible is God's Word. Notice the words that they continued steadfastly. They were faithful in their responsibility to teach. The apostles taught. And the believers listened. They continued in the Word with what was taught. They were convinced that the depth of their devotion would determine their impact in the world. So we're going to look at Acts 17:10 through 12. And this is where we're going to spend our time this morning. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. The first thing I want to look at is they received the word. Verse 11 says they were more fair-minded. The New American Standard, King James, and I believe the NIV all say they were more noble-minded. They had a noble character. They were willing to listen. They had a generous spirit. They were not prejudiced or hostile or suspicious of others, but gave others a fair hearing, fair-minded. The Bereans, therefore, were called noble because they listened to the preaching of the gospel with open hearts, and they pursued God with all their heart. They were more noble because they received the message. They received a word, it says, with a readiness, with an eagerness, and an openness as the word was preached to them. They had anticipation and an expectancy that God was speaking specifically to them. And this is what set them apart. This is what made them a noble or open-minded. I just wonder how many of us come to church today with an expectation that God was going to speak to us. Now, I'm not talking to us as a congregation. I'm talking about us as an individual. Did you come here today expecting God to speak to your heart on an individual level? I hope you did, because God will, and that's what He calls us here for. Not as a group, but as individuals to worship Him, to listen to His words, to draw close to Him as individuals, and work together as a church to accomplish His wills. Maybe coming to church has just become a habit, and you don't give any thought to getting up on Sunday morning other than maybe the alarm clock sure went off early. But you get up, you put on your Sunday clothes, and you trudge out of the house, and you come to church. Glad to be here. Happy to see your friends. But is it just a habit? Or did you come with an expectation of growing today, of hearing something today that touched your heart? We need to come in here every day with an eagerness of mind, just like the Bereans, with an openness of heart, and be ready to hear what God has to say. And this is how we cultivate the qualities that God wants to see in us. When we pray to God for Him to speak to us, we should have a sense of anticipation, of an eagerness, wanting and waiting for God to answer those prayers, and be looking for an answer to those prayers. How many of us take our prayer list and pray over it every week and just lay it down and that's the end of that? Or do you check, do you listen to see if God is working in the lives of any of those people? But here's a problem. We can't have that relationship and we can't know God in that way if we're not reading our Bibles on a regular basis. I read a survey that said 50% of Christians in this United States rarely open their Bible once a week. That's a sad statistic, seeing how that's our connection to God. I have a little story for you about a woman. She was fairly religious, and she flew a lot on her business trips, but she didn't like airplanes. They made her nervous. So what she did is when she got in her place, she opened her Bible, and she'd read the Bible while she was flying. And on one trip, she got out her Bible to relax and to read. And she found herself sitting next to a man that chuckled and smirked at her when she pulled out her Bible. After a while, he turned to her and asked, "You don't really believe all that stuff in there, do you?" And she says, "Well, yes, I do. It's the Bible. I believe it's true." And he says, "Well, what about that guy that was swallowed by the whale?" And she said, "Oh, Jonah. Yeah, I believe it's true. It's in the Bible." And the guy smirking says, "Well, How do you suppose he survived all that time inside the whale? And the lady replied, well, I don't really know. When I get to heaven, I'll guess I'll ask him. The guy asked sarcastically, he says, what if he isn't in heaven? The lady smiled and answered, then you can ask him. See, the lady received the Bible, and she read it, and she put the words in her heart. That was her life. That was how she relaxed. That's how she communicated with God. And it seems to me in this story, that's how she communicated and dealt with hecklers too. The second thing I noticed in reading these passages was that they researched the Word. Not only did they first receive the Word, but they researched the Word. They received the Word because their minds were ready. They had an openness and a willingness. And then they researched the Word because they had a high regard for the truth. Look at the last part of verse 11. In that they received the Word with all readiness, they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true. The Bereans weren't content with the Word of man. They weren't content with what Paul told them. They reasoned mere mortals was not enough for them. They wanted a more sure word. They wanted a thus saith the Lord in their lives. So it says that they turned to the Scriptures daily. They searched the Scriptures daily. What they were being taught was true or not. The Bereans listened to Paul's teaching and received it. And we are told they did so daily, just as the Israelites had to gather manna daily. And I want to put it to you this morning that it's the duty and the privilege of every Christian to receive God's Word daily, to get into it and talk to the Lord by reading His Word. The Bereans were like the blessed man in Psalm 1, verse 2. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. They pored over the Bible, comparing Scripture with Scripture, evaluating the words they were hearing from the apostles with what the written word said. And that's exactly what we should be doing today. Don't come here and sit down and accept everything that I say as absolute truth. I try to hit the nail right on the head every Sunday, every time I teach. But it's your responsibility to get your Bibles out and check and see if what I'm saying is true. It's your responsibility to challenge me if you think I'm leading you astray. Because the only word that matters is the word out of the Bible, not the words that I say. I need to be held accountable, just as each of us need to be held accountable to what we do in our lives, the things that we teach our children, the things that we say when we witness to non-Christians. But you see, God gives us help in the Holy Spirit to interpret what I'm saying here today, to interpret the Word as I study it, and I try to bring a message for you guys on Sunday morning. You have a responsibility to be in the Word and not just read it and set the Bible down, but to really think about it, to turn it over in your minds, to judge it against your lives. If we do this daily, we'd be less likely to sin and more likely to hear God speaking to us. Number 3 said they responded to the Word. Let's look at verse 12. Therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. These people received the Word because it says they had a ready mind. They researched the Word because they had a high regard for the truth. And they responded to the Word because they knew it was a direct revelation of God. Notice the result was, therefore many of the Jews believed. Many people believed, not just a few. It was because of their research and their studies, their devotion to the Word that many responded. They responded to the Word because they received a revelation of God. The Bereans wanted to hear the word of God so they could live for God. And that should be our mantra today. We want to hear the word of God so we can serve God. There's many people today that wait to hear from God before they decide if they're going to do it or not. And that's putting it backwards. You should have already established in your mind whatever God says to you, you'll do it. Because that's His will for your life. To do it the other way, you're putting your will before God's. Not everyone is serious about hearing, because not everyone is serious about doing. Look at John 7:17. It says, if anyone wills to do His will, this is God's, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. A person that's willing to do God's word, will, has to have the discernment to hear from God. And how do you get that discernment? Well, it's not that all that hard to figure out. God's will isn't hard to figure out. What is hard to figure out is our will. Are we willing to do what God has called us to do? Or do we want to make our own way in this world? So are you willing to do what God has called you to do? That's a stumbling block for many. We need to be like the Bereans. Let's receive the word because we have a ready mind. Let's research the word for we have a high regard for the truth. And finally, let's respond to the word because we know that it is God's will for our life and we want to obey Him. There's another way to look at it. To be fully devoted to God's instruction. First, we need to get the Bible in our head. Then we need to get it into our hearts. And then we need to get it into our hands. We get the Bible in our head by getting into the Bible, by reading, by studying. The Word resides in our heart when we pore over what God has revealed to us, when we think about what the Word has revealed. It is fleshed out through our daily lives when we live obediently to God's Word. The Bible is not just a textbook to be studied. God uses it to change people's hearts. So we must be exposed to God's truth, and then our lives can change. Let me give you some actions and some steps that you can take in your life to help. First, to get it into your head. Primary way to do that is read the Bible. There's no better way. We have to get the word in our head. I know some of you might be thinking, I've tried this, I've read the Bible, but frankly, I'm getting in a rut. It doesn't stick. And I understand that. I know what you're saying. And I'm saying you may not be alone. There's others thinking that. But why not find a different translation? If you read the New King James, pick up a New American Standard. Or NIV, and read it with your other Bible to get a different outlook. The NAS is harder to read, but it's a closer translation. So you might want to find an easier one to read along with it. Vary your reading. We have all kinds of helps here. The open windows here in the back is a great way to read Bible verses every day. It leads you step by step. The God's Promises books. If you have something that's troubling you in your life, look it up in the God's Promise book and it'll give you scriptures to read and to ponder over. You might want to follow a reading plan. You can get one of those plans of reading through the Bible in a year. Those are everywhere. If you can't find one, I can help you. I can help you find a nice daily devotional if you want. There are some secondary ideas or ways you can get the Bible into your head. The first one is commit to regular Sunday worship attendance. Nothing's more important than being here and sharing God's Word and sharing with each other. There's unity in the gathering of the group. But come with an expectancy that you're going to hear from God every time you walk through that door. And if the people you greet and you meet here have something to say, commit to attending a Sunday school class. And not only that, but commit to reading your material before your class and be ready to discuss it with the other students. Get into a small group study and again, prepare before each study. Now getting it into your heart, that's a little trickier. It goes a little deeper than just reading the Word. We need to get so familiar with the Scriptures that it impacts our lives. It's not something that we just read and then put the book down. It's something that we read, and when we're witnessing or we're talking, helping someone through a problem, that Scripture comes back to mind, and we can help someone out. I know one way to do it, and I know we've done it here before, is to keep a journal. And that's just a fancy name for a notepad. As you're studying Scriptures, as something comes to your mind, write it down. Or a Scripture jumps out, write it down. And pray over it and think about it. And when God answers you, go back and write down what God said. Write down your answer. Pray about what you wrote. Have you ever been reading the Bible and someone's name comes into your head? Write the name down and pray for that person at that time. Examine the Scripture. Maybe see what prompted that person's name to come to you. There's all kinds of ways. And there's always memorizing Scriptures. Any Scripture that seems to be especially important to you at a point in your life, take the time to write it down on an index card and carry it with you. Memorize it. God's speaking to your heart. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." You see, the more we know about the Word of God and what He's calling us to do, the less likely we are to have sin in our lives. It's not just what we know, it's what we do with what we know. The Bible has to affect how we live. Number three is living it out with our hands. God gave us the Bible so we can fill our minds and our hearts. But He wants us to take what He has written and live it out in our lives. I'm sure you've all known people that have lived by the Bible. Their life is an example of God's words. And I'm sure we all know people that profess to be Christians. But if you look at their lives outside the confines of this building, you don't see anything Christian in them. We need to pour over God's Word. We need to write it upon our hearts and in our minds so we don't stray. The Bible has to affect how we live. So just what is God asking you to do this morning? Has God been using His Word to get your attention? Certain passages jump out at you. Maybe passages from a long ago time come to mind. Maybe He wants you to stop doing something that you're doing in your life. Maybe He wants you to start doing something that you're not doing. But just don't ignore Him. Live out what you know in your head and your heart to be true. I love what Max Lucado says in one of his books. He said, "God loves you just the way you are, but He refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus." And truer words were never spoken. We're accepted into God's kingdom. We're saved by the blood of Christ just as we are. We're all invited in. We're all loved equally. But God doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants us to change, to grow more and more like Jesus. And that's why He gave us the Bible. He gave us instructions, word by word, how to transform our lives. He's in the business of changing lives, and His Word does just that. We're saved to serve, aren't we? We're called to a higher calling, aren't we? We've been taught so we can teach others. We've been given spiritual gifts so that we can mobilize the ministry and reach out. I found this quote as I was putting this message together, and I want to share it with you. It's about Billy Graham. It says, one night about 60 years ago, a young man was experiencing some doubts about the Bible. So he cried out to God in prayer and said this, "O God, I do not understand it all, but I am willing to believe it and willing to obey it." I'll read that again. He said, "O God, I do not understand it all, but I'm willing to believe it and willing to obey it." So we don't have to understand everything, but we have to be willing to believe that it's the Word of God and there's no error. It'll be explained later. Billy Graham later wrote, "I discovered the secret that changed my ministry. I stopped trying to prove that the Bible was true. I had settled in my own mind that it was, and this faith was conveyed to the audience. Over and over again, I found myself saying, 'The Bible says,' and I felt as though I were merely a voice through which the Holy Spirit was speaking. I found that the Bible became a flame in my hands, the flame that melted away unbelief in the hearts of people and moved them to decide for Christ. The Word became like a hammer breaking up stony hearts and shaping them into the likeness of God." And it came from a book called Give Me That Book by Robert Coleman. But all of us stand exactly at the same place that Billy Graham stood. Can we say with honesty that we believe in the Bible? We don't need to understand it. Billy Graham came to an understanding that day that he may not ever understand everything in the Bible. But all he needed to know that was the Bible was the Word of God. And that's what he stood on. So I guess what it is you either believe in the Word of God or you don't. I believe it is the Word of God. This church believes the Bible is the Word of God. And that's why it's held in such a high position here. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Awana, our youth ministry, our Sunday school teachers, and all that we have. As a matter of fact, our church constitution, under section 2, under doctrine, it says, "This church looks to Scripture as its authority and guide in matters of faith and practice." Period. The Word of God is absolute. There's nothing else needed. I want to ask you if you all stand with me and pray. I just ask, can you make a commitment to make the Bible your number one priority in your life? I know what I'm asking. I'm asking you to put the Bible before your job, before your family, relationships outside of your family, anything you do in your life, because I'm confident if you put the Bible number one, you're putting the Word of God number one. That means you're putting God Himself number one in your life. And all of your other relationships will fall into place because you have God in your heart. It'll become active in your hands and in your life. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so thankful that you loved us enough that you put your Word in a book for us. You've given us so many things, Father. You've poured your Spirit out upon us. You've given us wisdom and knowledge. And I just ask for that for everyone here, Father. As we get into your word, as we open up our Bibles, through the power of your Spirit, you will give us wisdom and knowledge of what we're reading, Father. An eagerness to dive into your word. An eagerness to study it, Father. And to apply it to our lives. Help us get your word into our hearts, Father. And then help us to make it active through our hands and our feet and through our voices. Father, I ask you would bless these here today as they study your word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.